Good morning, everyone. Please turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And well, let me be reading one verse this morning. So pay attention. This is Jesus speaking. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us understand. Our dear Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning, confessing our great need of your help, confessing our great desire to know you, to worship you, to love you, to walk with you. And Lord, confessing our great ignorance and sinful hearts. Lord, without the aid of your Holy Spirit, we would not only ignore your word, but when we read it, we wouldn't understand it. And when we do understand it, we would then have no desire to do it. And when we do have a desire to do it, we would not grasp the weight that it brings towards us, the very weight that these are the words of God. So, O Lord, would you do what only you can do, and work by your Holy Spirit in our hearts in such a manner that we recognize that these words are from God Almighty, given through his Son to his people, so that they might see the glories of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Would you transform us into Christ's likeness as a result? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're talking about listening. What does listening mean and what does listening not mean? Now, I think for some of you who are teachers among us, you might know what listening is not like. When you're trying to give instructions to your students and they have absolutely no interest in what you might have to say. But what does listening actually positively mean? I think in different contexts, listening could be used in different ways. So for instance, you can listen to music, and the kind of listening that you're engaged with there is merely listening for enjoyment. You might listen to the evening news or read the newspaper in the morning, and the kind of listening that you're doing there is listening to be informed. You might listen to your husband or wife or friend or child, and the kind of listening you're engaged with there is the kind of listening where you're putting your own wants, desires, and needs aside so you can listen to them as a person and what they are saying about the things that concern them. But then you also get another kind of listening, and it could also be called the kind of shouting. That's the listening of a coach. A coach who might tell you not only to listen to something, but he expects you to do it. This is the same kind of listening that you find when you might wander around through one of the beautiful forests in the northern suburbs, and you find yourself completely lost. And then you find a stranger who's a local in the area, and he can point you into the right direction where you need to go. And both in the case of the coach and in the case of this helper who directs you on your way, the kind of listening that you're engaged with there is attentiveness to the details so that you might do exactly what they say. It's not a kind of listening which is merely to be informed. It's not the kind of listening which is merely for enjoyment. It's not the kind of listening which is merely for conversation. This is the kind of listening which leads to action. Now, we're talking about the kind of listening that Jesus wants from people when they engage with his word. And this is the kind of listening that he wants from us. He doesn't just want us to come in here, listen to a nice message, feel nice about it, and leave. No, Jesus wants us to engage in a certain kind of listening, far closer to the kind of listening we do when a coach is shouting at us, or when we are told, when we're lost in the woods, which direction to go into. The kind of listening that Jesus wants us to do is listening as an act of willingly relinquishing our own ideas for the sake of hearing his truth, so that you can be changed and that your course of life might be changed, so that you might walk in newness
of life.
The kind of listening that Jesus wants us to engage with is a transformational kind of listening. Now, what has Jesus already said about listening and hearing in Matthew's Gospel that leads us to believe this? So I want you to keep your Bibles open, as always, so we can take a look at it. So for instance, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus had said right at the end of one of the most important sermons ever delivered, the Sermon on the Mount. This is what he has to say in conclusion to that. Chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus says there are two kinds of listening here once they've listened to the Sermon on the Mount. Those who listen, who hear and don't put into practice, and those who hear and do put into practice. Jesus said the fate of the one will be solid, and the fate of the other will be a catastrophe. Next passage in Matthew's Gospel where Jesus again speaks of listening is at the in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 15. When Jesus is discussing the nature and character of John the Baptist's ministry, and he says of John the Baptist that he is really the most important prophet who's ever come, and John the Baptist's message was simply this, to point to Jesus. And then Jesus says in verse 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, if you really are listening to what I'm saying to you about John the Baptist, you will respond to Jesus in a certain kind of way. Because Jesus is talking about John the Baptist's ministry and what it meant, and John the Baptist is pointing right at Jesus. In other words, if you're listening really to what Jesus is saying about John the Baptist, you'll become a follower, not of John the Baptist, but of Jesus. And lastly, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, where Jesus had compared himself that he is greater than the temple, that he's greater than Jonah. And lastly, in verse 42, he compared himself to Solomon, saying that he is greater than Solomon. This is what he says about the situation. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Can you see what the queen of the south did? She went to go hear Solomon, to listen to Solomon. And what did the generation of Jesus do? Well, they might have heard the words of Jesus, but they did not put them into practice. Now we finally come to the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. And it's so easy for us to misinterpret and miss the central meaning of this parable. But one of the things I want to show you this morning is that part of the central meaning of this parable is Jesus wants to challenge the way you listen to him. He wants to challenge the way that you listen to the Bible when you read it. He wants to challenge the way you listen to the Bible when you hear it being preached at church. He wants to ask you, how are you listening? Because there's a certain kind of listening that Jesus says that will lead to your condemnation. And there's a certain kind of listening that actually leads to eternal life. So in Matthew chapter 13, I just want to show you a couple of verses. From verse 9 all the way to verse 23, one of the central words Jesus repeats over and over again is the word hear. Hear, the word for listening. So in verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. Then in verse 13, this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear. Indeed, it is the case of the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, you will indeed see but never perceive. In verse 15, for this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears have been, and with their ears they can barely hear. Verse 16, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verse 17, for truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Verse 18, hear then the parable of the sower. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, and so on. Can you see what's happening here when Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower, which last week we said is one of the fundamental parables because it is mentioned first in the Gospels. It's one of the fundamental parables because in it Jesus explains the reason why he's communicating in this form of parables. But the central thing that Jesus wants to communicate in this parable of the sower is he wants to ask you a question. How are you listening? So to answer this question for us today, I think we have to ask four additional questions of ourselves and of this passage. The first question is, what does it mean to listen? Simply, what does it mean to listen? Secondly, what does the speaker expect of us? What does the speaker expect of us? Third, who is listening for? Who is listening for? And then lastly, fourth, what needs to happen to us in order to listen properly? What needs to happen to us in order to listen properly? So firstly, what does listening mean? Here we're not speaking about listening in general, but specifically speaking about listening to the words of Jesus, listening to the word of God, and that's extended to us through the listening that we have when we come on a Sunday together to listen to sermons preached. Now later we'll talk about the difference between a sermon preached and the word of God in its pure sense, but for now we're just going to leave it there. What I want to impress upon you at this point is I want to focus your attention on what does it mean to listen to the Word of God? What does it mean to listen to the Word of God? Now, Jesus loved the book of Deuteronomy. He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, second only to the Psalms. He loved the book of Deuteronomy. Now, central to the book of Deuteronomy in the way that it's structured is the call that goes out right at the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll reference this a couple of times this morning because it is so fundamental for understanding what does proper listening look like. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have what's called the Shema. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is something that Jewish people, since that time, and to our own time, they repeat this in the morning in their prayers, and in the evening. Hear, O Israel. Did you notice the first word in that sentence? Hear, O Israel. So what does hear, mean there? Now surely it doesn't just mean receiving the sound waves into your ears so that that could be transferred into your brain and so that the sound waves could be translated into intelligible words for you. That's not all it means here. Instead, what hearing means in the Hebrew sense is hearing means a deliberate focus on, paying attention to, being careful to focus your mind on something important. And in the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, is directed right to God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So when you are going to start listening in a manner that pleases God according to His Word, when you're going to listen to His Word, what are you going to do first? You're going to start focusing. You're going to start saying, I want to put my deliberate attention here. Now, I think in our time, that's quite difficult, isn't it? In our time is difficult because of the multimedia platforms that exist, people using all kinds of different devices at the same time, switching between one task and another task and another task, doing 3 to 4 things at the same time. That's attention divided. That's not focused attention. What Deuteronomy 6 is talking about, what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 13, is focused attention. Putting everything else aside, and saying, I want to think about this. But what listening also means is it's an invitation to reflect. This we find again in Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, where Jesus says, "He who has ears, let him hear." In other words, when he gave this great parable of the sower, he didn't just want people to go away and when they were asked, "What did Jesus talk about today?" they would say, "He said something about a sower." No, he wants them to go think about the meaning of what he said. He wants them to go mull over it, to think over it continually, so they might come to understand exactly what he's talking about. In Paul's language, we find this again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where Paul talks about all these beautiful things, the good things, the glorious things, and he says, think on these things. I've heard preachers who, at the end of each of their messages, all they say is, think on these things. Go home and meditate on these things. Make it your duty to think carefully, to think deliberately, and to think with understanding, care, and a prayerful heart. But it's not only deliberate focus and paying attention to, it's not only an invitation to reflect, it's also a call to respond with acceptance. It's a call to respond with acceptance. In Matthew's gospel, we see this quite clearly. We've seen it already in Matthew chapter 12, where the word preached by Jesus immediately causes two completely diametrical responses to him. The one response receives him, goes to him, asks him for healing, asks him for exorcism, wants to listen to his words. The other response criticizes him. They don't want to hear his words. Later in Matthew's gospel, we see this response in terms of hearing quite clearly. Let me give you two examples. The first is found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. This incredible account of this man who came to Jesus and said to Jesus, he wants to be part of, he wants to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus asks him about keeping of the law, and he says he's kept all the law. And then Jesus says, sell everything you have and follow me. And then it gives us the punchline, which we didn't know up to this point. The punchline is in verse 22, verse 9, chapter 19. When the young man heard this, he heard these words of Jesus, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, his response to the words of Jesus was sorrow, because he wasn't going to respond to who Jesus is, he was going to respond to what he had. And when the disciples, in turn, responded to who Jesus is, they were allowed to see more and more of his glory. One example of this is in Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus is transfigured before their eyes into this glorious vision of the one who has glory within himself, where even Moses and Elijah comes to stand beside him, those saints who have been taken into glory to testify about Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 6, 17, verse 6, we see that after the disciples heard a voice from heaven, which is God's voice about Jesus, then the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. You see, there is a dramatically different response between the rich young ruler and the disciples. The rich young ruler who doesn't receive the words of Jesus, but rather receives what he has already, his own ideas, his own possessions, rather than Jesus. And the disciples receive the word of God, the Father from heaven, proclaiming about his Son, responding to him who is there. So what does listening mean? It means deliberately focusing on. It means paying attention to. It means inviting us to reflect on these things. And it calls us to respond in acceptance. The second question we have to ask about listening is, what does the speaker expect of us? What does the speaker of the Bible expect of us? What does the preacher expect of us to do? Now, one of the assumptions of listening to the Word of God, even when this is mediated through a preacher, is that God has spoken. And thus God's Word carries with it the authority of God himself, since it is breathed out by God. But the same should be true with a preacher. He should speak in accordance with the word of God, seeking to draw out its meaning and applying it to the church. Earlier, I promised you that we'll talk about the relationship and distinction between the Word of God as the Bible and the Word of God as proclaimed truth. And this is what it is. The Word of God as the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of truth. And what the preacher is supposed to do is merely convey to you what it means. Convey to you what it says. Convey to you how to apply it. And convey to you the glories and wonders of it. He is not to bring his own inventions. He's not to bring his own understandings or ideas. He is merely to show you what these things say. And the result should be that he should try to align himself as closely as possible to the Word of God. That's why Peter, when he talks about these things in 1 Peter chapter 4, this is what he says. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. He says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So in other words, Peter is saying here that if you are going to do this engagement of speaking about God's word, you should speak as if you are speaking God's word. Of course, this is not adding any revelation to God's word, but it is saying, this is what the Lord says. Then the authority doesn't lie with the preacher, it lies with the word. So preachers should preach in such a way that they are speaking the word of God to the people in accordance with the word of God. That means that people who listen to a sermon, the way that we are supposed to listen to a sermon, is in some ways the way we are supposed to listen to the Bible. We are to receive it as the voice of God for us. The voice of God for us. But then there is another important difference between the preacher and the Bible. The preacher, of course, is not infallible, but the Bible is. That's why in Acts chapter 17, we have one of the most brilliant pictures of what a responsible, faithful, godly church does in response to the word which is preached to them. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, this is what we find. Paul is preaching to these Bereans. And this is what it says. Now these Jews were more noble than those of Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That's why when you come to church, what you're supposed to do is supposed to have a Bible on your lap. To see that whether what I am saying is in accordance with the Word of God. You can never assume it. Every week, we must together study the Word of God in an open manner, and you must test to see whether this is really from God or not. The Bereans checked Paul. How much more should you not check me? So what do preachers want you to do? What do preachers expect of you? What do I expect of you as a preacher, a minister of God's word? Well, the only thing that we can expect of you is that you should respond to the Bible as the Bible wants you to expect. Now, the question is, what does the Bible expect of you in response to the word? And this is all connected with listening. How does the Bible expect you to respond in listening? When you're listening to the Word of God, what should you be doing? A couple of things. You should be listening as a reorientation to God. You should be listening as an act of reorientation to God. In that passage in Deuteronomy 6 that we read earlier, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This Shema, which the Jewish people to this day repeat morning and evening. The first thing that they're to do is to listen. The second thing they're to do is to redirect their focus to God Himself. The world, the news, media, everything will redirect your focus to the things of earth. God wants you to focus on Him. And he has given you his word so that you might redirect and reorient your focus on who God is, that you might know him. But listening also here means that listening is deeply connected with obedience. There isn't in the Old Testament a clear distinction between listening and obedience as we might have in our culture. We might talk about someone hearing something, but not someone doing something. In the Hebrew, the Shema meant both things. If you listened to it, then you would do it. If you didn't listen to it, well, then you won't do it. Both of these people heard it, but the one listened and put it into practice, and the other listened and didn't put it into practice. This kind of word, use of the word Shema, is found in, for instance, Exodus chapter 19. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, this is what we read. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession amongst all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Obey my voice and keep my covenant. That's Shema. Hearing and doing. Hearing and obeying. They are connected for Jesus, and they are connected in the Old Testament. Likewise, when Jesus was talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 about this mission that he sent them on, about what they're supposed to do and how people are to listen to them, Jesus said in chapter 10, verse 14, if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. You see, the listening that Jesus is referring to here isn't merely listening, paying attention to what the disciples have said. The listening that Jesus refers to in Matthew chapter 10 is the listening and the reception. Can you see? Listening accompanied with faith, listening accompanied with obedience. The same is true in that passage we read earlier in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 26, where Jesus talks about building our house on the rock. It's listening accompanied by doing. It's listening accompanied by obedience. If it's merely listening with our ears, we haven't listened at all. This is the same thing that James speaks of in James chapter 1, verse 22. Listening should be accompanied by obedience, or it is not listening at all. It doesn't matter if you come to church. If you come to church and you just listen to a nice message, you forget it, you don't do any of it, it doesn't have an impact on you. It is just as well that you didn't come to church. Actually, it's worse, because the more you know, the higher the judgment will be against us. So we should be putting these things into practice as we're learning them. Otherwise, we are heaping up for ourselves coals. But listening here is not only a reorientation to God. It's not only accompanied by obedience. It also leads to proclamation. This is what we find in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. When Jesus is talking to his disciples that they should be going out and telling the world what he has done. This is the way he describes it beautifully in verse 27. What I tell you in the dark, say it in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim it on the rooftops. You see, they are not merely to listen. They're not merely to put into practice. But they are enthusiastically supposed to proclaim this to the world. Now, here's the logic of it. If Jesus' words are true, and if Jesus is the only way to God, the only form of reconciliation that we have to God, if Jesus is the truth, then that means there is nothing more important than we can say to another human being than to talk to them about Jesus. There is nothing more important that we can say to another human being than to talk to them about Jesus. Listening leads to talking to others about what you've heard. And then final part of this, what does the speaker expect of us? What does God's word expect of us? Is listening leads to Jesus. Listening leads to Jesus. And Jesus leads to listening. This we find again in the passage I read earlier from Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus is transfigured before the eyes of the disciples. And this is what happens in verse 5, this amazing scene. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. This is in verse 5. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son." God from heaven opens up this cloud, which in the Old Testament, the cloud was the glory of God. God opens up this cloud, and what does he say? He says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." What should you do with him? Listen to him. You see, it's an amazing thing. God speaks from heaven, instructs us to listen to Jesus. And Jesus then later in John's Gospel, in John 15 verse 26, he instructs us that God the Father and he is going to send the Holy Spirit down into our hearts in the new covenant, part of the new covenant blessing. You know what's going to happen once the Holy Spirit is in our hearts? He's going to remind us of Jesus. So what happens here? God the Father speaks from heaven. He speaks to us about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is sent into our hearts, and he testifies to us about Jesus. If you are listening rightly, you will be pointed to Christ. Because that is where listening leads us. Listening reorients us to God. Listening is coupled with obedience. It should be coupled with obedience. Listening leads to proclamation of what we've heard, and listening leads us to Jesus. Now here's the third question. We so far all answered the question, what does listening mean? We've asked the question, what should we do in response to listening? What does the speaker expect us to do in response to listening? Now we ask the question, who is listening for? Now let me tell you two details about our culture that will help you to think about this more clearly. In our culture, there are two dominant yet totally opposing ways to think about listening. The first is what we call individualism. Individualism says, the only person that's important is me. The only reason I listen to the news is self-interest. The only reason I do anything in this world is because of my wants, my desires, my life. It's about me, it's not about other people. If I'm not happy, then nothing else matters. That's called individualism. The way that an individualist listens to anything is he asks himself, how can this benefit me? This is rampant in our culture. But there's a second way that our culture sometimes thinks, and it's totally opposed to this, but it's just as prevalent. It's what we call collectivism. It's where people listen to the news, they listen to media outlets, they listen to the books that they read, the movies that they consume, anything that they get their hands on, and they conform merely to the pattern of the world. Rather than thinking critically through these things for themselves, they say, well, this is what they say, so we should follow after this completely and wholeheartedly. All of us should be like sheep, indistinguishable from one another, all having exactly the same opinion about exactly the same topics. Individualism and collectivism. But neither of these two ways of listening is the way that Jesus is instructing us here to listen. And I'll show you how he talks about the relationship between the individual and the community in a second. So who is listening for? Well, firstly, it's for you. It's for you and you and you and everyone else I didn't point to. It's for each one of us. This listening is for you. So when the preacher opens his mouth, who is the sermon for? It's not for someone out there, it's for you, sitting in that chair, listening. And we hear this particularly as Jesus applies his messages. We hear this in the Old Testament continually. We hear this, for instance, in the Proverbs, when Solomon speaks so brilliantly, specifically to his son. And the language all over the Proverbs that he uses for his son is, "My son, hear my words, heed my call, listen to what I have to say to you." The call to listen is for each individual. But secondly, it's also for the community. If I may refer back to the Deuteronomy 6 passage, the Shema is, hear who? O Israel. Hear, O Israel. This is not, hear, O individual Israelites. This is Israel as a community. Listen to this together. And this idea is again transferred right into the New Testament as we're called upon in Hebrews chapter 10 to meet together as often as we can so that we can hear the word of God. You're called upon to listen to the word of God as an individual, but you are called upon to hear the word of God as a community of believers. Why should we hear it as a community of believers? Well, the reason is, what happens after church, if you don't rush off, you have the wonderful opportunity to engage with one another about, did I hear him right? Did he say that? How dare he say that? You can engage with one another in discussion, but you can also engage with one another in accountability. You can ask one another openly, how are you doing with this? Are you putting this into practice? And what have you found that helps you to put into practice? But it also means that you are called upon to act responsibly in this matter, not only amongst this community, but out there as well. You see, the church should be a community of listening. It should be a community of repentance. It should be a community of accountability. It should be a community of responsibility. We are supposed to listen to the word of God together and then put it into practice together. And God will work in each of our lives in different ways as he speaks to us. But we need to do this together. We've asked three questions so far. What does listening mean? What does the speaker expect of us? And who is listening for? Now let me close by asking, what needs to happen in me in order to listen properly? What needs to happen in me in order to listen properly? Well, what needs to happen in each of us is we need hearts that are prepared. That sometimes means that on a Saturday evening, you just spend a few moments thinking, tomorrow I'm going to church. Tomorrow I'm going to hear the voice of God through the preacher as he rightly divides the word of God. And that word is going to be for me. You need hearts that are prepared. You need hearts, as Jesus said in Matthew 13, that would receive the word with joy. You need hearts and minds that are not interested in false beliefs and practices. Not the itching ears, not the thing you want to hear, but the thing that God actually says. That's in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. You want hearts that are eager to put these things into practice today, as in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Not another day, not putting it off until another day, but say, rejoicingly doing it today. You need a heart that asks for spiritual insight continually as we study these things. Really what you need is a new heart. You need heart surgery. You need God to take out the heart of stone that is self-obsessed and give you a heart of flesh that is oriented towards God, that listens to his word with joy and eagerness, that wants to put it into practice and wants to do so regularly, that wants to meet in a community of faith just like this so that we can all do these things together, keeping one another accountable, keeping one another responsible, and aiming right for heaven as we on this journey share the word of truth with all the world that they might know that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is Lord of all. What happens if we don't listen this way? What happens if we leave here and say, that was very nice, that was very interesting, lots of illustrations, nothing for me? What if we listen in that way? Well, the thing that Jesus describes, if you listen in that kind of way, is a heart which spirals out of control, a heart which becomes hardened more and more towards God, a heart that becomes hardened more and more towards people, and a heart which loves sin more. Soon, you won't be able to distinguish between good and evil. Soon, you would only be given over to your fleshly desires. This is what happens when you don't listen in a godly manner. When we listen properly to God, and we listen properly to God's word, we are shown who God is. And God then redirects us to Christ, and he gives us his Holy Spirit, who also points us to the reality of Christ and what Christ has done to us. And all of this leads us to the wonderful thing that God is transforming us into the very image of God. And what happens then is we reflect the image of God to the world, because God has given us ears. Well, let's pray together. And now, Lord God, we praise you for the words of your Son. And we ask that you would make us listeners of your word, that you would make us doers of your word, that you would teach us how to listen, how to meditate, how to think on these things, how to do them in such a manner that we are redirected to you, and that we are drawn closer to you, so that we can do them in our own hearts, but also, Lord, as a community of faith. That you, O Lord, would show us more of yourself, that you would give us new hearts, and that day by day we would live in repentance of our sins. Make us listening people. Give us ears, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.